Hello, J.D. Mitchell here with another short informational recording on a creation science or biblical apologetics subject. Thanks for accessing the Creation Engineering Concepts website and for clicking to hear this recording with the title Natural Selection. Various theories of evolution had been proposed by numerous men over the centuries prior to Charles Darwin's publishing in 1859 of his Origins book. The complete title of his book was The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection or the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. The purpose of his book was to propose that present-day life could have come about by evolution rather than as a result of the actions of a creator God. Any careful reading of Darwin's book will result in the understanding that the importance and novelty of it was his proposal of a mechanism for biological evolution that he called natural selection. Darwin stated that the familiar expression survival of the fittest could be considered equivalent to natural selection. Let me read a segment of Darwin's book so you can hear his explanation in his own words. Please take care to notice that Darwin offers more of a hope for the work of natural selection rather than an explanation for it. So here follows his words that I have selected from the chapter of his book titled Struggle for Existence. So here goes the quote. Again, it may be asked, how is it that varieties, which I have called incipient species, become ultimately converted into good and distinct species, which in most cases obviously differ from each other far more than do the varieties of the same species? How do those groups of species, which constitute what are called distinct genera, and which differ from each other more than do the species of the same genus, arise? All these results, as we shall more fully see in the next chapter, follow from the struggle for life. Owing to this struggle, variations, however slight and from whatever cause proceeding, if they be in any degree profitable to the individuals of a species, in their infinitely complex relations to other organic beings and to their physical conditions of life will tend to the preservation of such individuals and will generally be inherited by the offspring. The offspring also will thus have a better chance of surviving, for of the many individuals of any species which are periodically born, but a small number can survive. I have this principle by which each slight variation, if useful, is preserved, by the term natural selection, in order to mark its relation to man's power of selection. But the expression often used by Mr. Herbert Spencer of the survival of the fittest is more accurate and is sometimes equally convenient. We have seen that man by selection can certainly produce great results and can adapt organic beings to his own uses through the accumulation of slight but useful variations given to him by the hand of nature. But natural selection, as we shall hereafter see, is a power incessantly ready for action, and is as immeasurably superior to man's feeble efforts as the works of nature are to those of God. Unquote. Parenthetically, Darwin's incipient species are those he defines as being in the process of changing from one species to another. And some of you may have noticed that there's a big influence of Malthus on Darwin's understanding of survival rates when he says, but a small number can survive. Well now, to comment on the quotation some more, Darwin makes some big promises in this quote. I do not know how many words follow in his book, probably on the order of 100,000, but what one will discover is that in them, he provides only examples of artificial selection. His discussion of his natural selection is highly speculative, and only because of the length and complexity of his argument would anyone think he provided any material to support his contention that his brand of natural selection is a reality. Unfortunately, many readers, skimmers, or hearers of the words in his book have been tricked to believe he did prove his point. Not surprisingly to the open-minded person, those predisposed by worldview to hoping that Darwin has discovered the mechanism for macroevolution are much more likely to be tricked by Darwin's words than those with a biblical worldview. In a similar vein, whenever Darwin discussed design in nature or the fossil record or any other of the numerous scientific problems with his hypothesis, he was quick to state the problem but not able to resolve it. His method of proof was to assume that if he brought up a problem, discussed it at length, and with enough hopeful hypotheticals tossed in, that he had therefore done his work. Nevertheless, today, after 150 years, many evolutionists have published the many weaknesses of Darwin's natural selection, and many have added mutations as a necessary additional component for macroevolution. Nevertheless, the words natural selection are bandied about in the media and in academia as if it is a law of nature of equal value to the law of gravity. A current high school biology textbook defines natural selection as, quote, the process by which organisms best suited to their environmental conditions are most likely to survive and reproduce, unquote. The American Association for the Advancement of Science prefers the definition that natural selection is, quote, a term describing how the adaptation of organisms to their environment results in different degrees of survival and reproductive success, and thereby the differences in their ability to pass on their characteristics to the next generation, unquote. Creationists Henry Morris and Gary Parker in their book, What is Creation Science, on page 82, wrote the following, quote, as a matter of fact, 24 years before Darwin's publication, a scientist named Edward Blyth published the concept of natural selection in the context of creation. He saw it as a process that adapted varieties of the created types to changing environments. A book reviewer once asked, rather naively, if creationists could accept the concept of natural selection. The answer is, of course, we thought of it first, unquote. So, natural selection must be a fact, right? I mean, if evolutionists and creationists all talk about natural selection, it must be a fact, right? Well, the answer is, it depends. It depends on what you mean by the words natural selection. Darwin and other evolutionist proponents placed the power for natural selection with godless nature. That is, they believe that the adaptations seen in organisms are the result of environment or climate or some other inanimate natural force on the organism. This idea comes from their belief that there is no need for a creator god, and that given enough time, all types of life forms could have naturally evolved from previous, more primitive ancestors. But creationists are quick to point out that selection is a process that requires intelligence. Just think about it. Can nature select anything? No. Can environment select anything? No. Can climate select anything? No. Nature, environment, climate, ecology, etc. can never select because they are inanimate and not intelligent. And with evolution, there is a requirement for unlimited change, that is, for change from one kind of life to another kind of life. This unlimited change is never seen in the present or in the fossils. On the other hand, creation requires limited change, and this is exactly what is seen in the present and in the fossils. Variation within kinds is obvious, but there is always a limit to the amount of variation as determined by the information specified in the DNA of the created kinds as established by the superintelligent creator. The innate abilities of life are the keys to adaptation, not the exterior influences of nature. As is often noted, when breeding dogs, we always end up with dogs. And this is true with both artificial selection, where men are intelligently controlling the environment with a goal in mind, and in natural selection, where there is no intelligence involved other than that at the time of creation. Possibly it would be easier to understand the process if we dropped the term natural selection and only used Darwin's other name, the survival of the fittest. Since in creation there is an indication of the fact of selective adaptation, but no indication that nature has the intelligence to select. That is, it is clear that organisms do adapt and survive, and others do go extinct, but nature does not select what lives and dies. That is inherent in the capabilities of the life itself. Friend, what is most important to understand first and foremost regarding this topic is that the natural selection defined and promoted by evolutionists is nothing but an idol, an imaginary replacement for God. Environment or any other inanimate selector is a mental abstraction at best and not a reality. To summarize, I would like to read the definition for natural selection found in the glossary of my book, Discovering the Animals of Ancient Oregon. It reads as follows. Natural selection is a mechanism proposed by Darwin to explain his concept of evolution. It describes the adaptation of organisms to their environment and explains the resulting degrees of survival and reproductive success. Creationists would allow for natural selection, first proposed by a creationist, to affect variability within a kind limited by the information originally placed in the DNA. Natural selection would work to reject mutations in order to save the organism, rather than use the harmful mutations for progressive evolutionary improvement of some sort. The description of the process as natural selection is flawed in the sense that nature, or environment, or ecology, is not intelligent and therefore incapable of selecting anything. The creationists would emphasize that adaptation of an organism is to its environment is due to innate abilities of the organism, while the evolutionists must attribute intelligence to inanimate things like nature, environment, climate, and so forth. Unquote. Well, I hope this explanation of natural selection is helpful to your understanding, and I pray too that you might better see and appreciate the power and grace of our Creator, Jesus Christ, as seen in the thoughtful adaptations He allowed for all of life in His marvelous creation. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.